Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Get a new joke, why don't you?
That Roadhead joke is so
outdated. So I just came from Roadhead.
You came from where? What street was that? I didn't. Was that a shortcut to get here?
Where's that at? Yeah. Roadhead?
Never heard of that one.
I've never been there.
Any truth to that, Taylor?
Can you confirm?
Who you guys talking to?
Yeah. Ooh, indeed. Well, hello there, everybody. It's another episode of A&A MMA.
I lost track of... Is this 24?
It's our Kobe episode.
Oh, Kobe. old Kobe, not like young dunking on you with the baby fro Kobe. We're old, mean, hate you, Kobe. We want you off the team, Kobe. Only me and Slim Kobe.
Kobe beef. Expensive shit.
We're back.
We're back. We took a little hiatus. Took a vacation day.
If you guys didn't notice, you guys, I bet so many people were just fuming.
Well, no, we had a great episode that we left off on. So
we did.
We left them with a good skit and a good treat.
Yeah, we hoped you guys liked that one. Monty's working on other skits for you guys. I know you guys like that Stephen A. Smith. He'll be back.
Yeah, Monty's so funny. It's great. So we actually had two fight nights happen recently.
Yeah. The first one was...
They're pretty decent. I was content, if you will.
Yeah. We didn't get to go to the first one, which was UFC Fight Night. Rockhold vs. Branch was at the PPG Paints Arena there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Right. A couple hours away from us.
I just want to point this out to you, Slim, that this UFC event had 7,005 people there. That's the lowest amount of people since the Ultimate Fighter Redemption finale.
Really?
Yeah.
When was that?
That
wasn't that long ago.
No, that was July. That was back in July.
Holy
but
shit.
I just wanted to point that out.
Wow, Pittsburgh not really fucking with MMA.
Yeah. It wasn't as big of an event as we thought.
That's interesting.
Are you sure this mic's better? I feel like I sound like garbage. I feel like I have like an echo to me.
An echo?
Do I sound weird, do you think? You sound a lot better to me than I sound. I sound like I'm talking like, I don't know. I sound weird.
I don't know.
Do you think I sound weird, Taylor? Okay. Oh, yeah. And making her second appearance on the show, our very special guest tonight, because all of our other guests always want to cancel on us because they are
I'm
whack.
Backup plan. Just kidding. But I don't really like to be on here, but I'm just listening, you know.
You know?
Yeah.
Packing,
in studio guests.
Packing bowls and shit.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Bowl Packers.
So the lowest event in recent times. That's different.
Yeah, since July. So just pretty low. I mean, usually we've been doing at least 8,000. Before that there was only 6,000 back in December of last year. And then before that, Slim, there was only 2,000 people at the Ultimate Fighter before that.
Really?
Finale.
Shit.
So it seems it was Ultimate Finale.
Yeah, but the Gaethje Johnson thing was
it was pretty banger. That was good. That was a good card.
Maybe people just didn't know they weren't on the Gaethje train.
Yep. All right.
Let's
so,
get right into it. Starting from the Fox Sports 1 prelims, which were on Fox Sports 1.
Oh, really?
They were. Yeah,
they actually
were true to their word.
Yeah, that's really surprising.
Wow.
Like, I can never actually tell what that shit's actually going to be on.
Yeah, no. We had Jason Sago versus Gilbert Burns.
Yeah, so Gilbert Burns put on a great, good show.
Yeah, he came in on top. Did he get the knockout? What was it? I don't remember. This shit was so long ago now. Let me.
I got it all right here. So he did knock him out. That was in the second round, really late into the second round. Jason Sago, put up a great fight. I thought he looked pretty impressive, but Gilbert Burns overall, that power in the lightweight division, he's a great puncher, man.
Hell yeah.
So, that was a good way to start off the card. This was overall a pretty deep card.
No, I thought it was a really solid one. Mm-hmm. A lot of prospects, a lot of doors opened up for a lot of people.
The second fight, we had Uriah Hall versus Krzysztof Jotko. That was the second fight of the night.
Yeah, dude.
That's wild.
Uriah Hall. Are we going right on that one? Yeah, why not? Uriah Hall needed a performance like this, and he looked excellent against Krzysztof Jotko.
He did.
Jotko, no one to sleep on in the welterweight division, but Uriah Hall was fighting very long, which he does. He's got really long arms, and he caught him on the end of a right hook, yeah. I believe.
It was disgusting. Yeah, add it to Uriah Hall's long list of great knockouts.
I hope that's what he needed to have a little bit of a comeback in him, you know what I mean?
Yep. Add it to the highlight reel. Uriah.
And he got knocked out of the night for that, so.
Yeah.
I think. Maybe not.
Oh, he had to have.
Was it fight of the night?
I'm sorry. Give me one second. He did get the performance of the night. Almost said who else did, but that's later in the night. So, Uriah Hall pulled off a comeback victory. I mean, right. Krzysztof Jotko in that first round was getting at Uriah Hall, and Uriah Hall really pulled it from deep down and got a nasty knockout. I mean, you can never count him out with his striking. Absolutely. His arsenal is just so full. He can come at you with so many different things. You can never count that man out. He has great cardio, even though I'm pretty sure he's 35 now?
Is he really?
Or am I tripping? 33.
Okay.
Yeah, so I mean, don't sleep on Uriah. So he gets a big, big win over Krzysztof Jotko, who was, what was he ranked, Slim? You got that?
I don't. He's not ranked. Neither of them are ranked right now. I think he might have been number 15.
Yeah, but I mean, dude, Uriah Hall was coming off a 3-loss streak right there.
Right.
He was fighting Gegard Mousasi, Derek Brunson, and Robert Whittaker.
Yeah, I mean, wow. That's huge competition.
Yeah, and that was his first performance of the night.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Of course, he did get that knockout of the season on Ultimate Fighter.
Wow. That one was nuts.
I was just looking stuff up. Did you know that Michael Venom Page, one of my favorite fighters in Bellator, he was the first one to ever win a knockout of the night outside of the UFC?
What?
Yeah.
Where?
Bellator.
They didn't do that before?
I mean, no. He was just the first one to win it. All the best knockouts had come from the UFC, but he won it with that.
Oh, you mean knockout of the year?
Yeah.
You said knockout of the night. I was like, what?
Oh, my bad. No, knockout of the year.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was the one where you had that flying knee and fractured Cyborg Santos's forehead and then threw a Pokeball at him. Remember that?
I forgot about that. That was awesome.
That was dope. But yeah, man, Uriah Hall, huge win. Definitely needed that. I think he's definitely got a couple more in him. Might have one last run for that title. You know, if he can string back a couple wins, keep doing them in highlight fashion like that.
Right.
Got himself a performance of the night.
We'll see what he can
do. How is that
right?
They're lying, bro, because it says that he has performance of the night here versus Gegard Mousasi, too, and he knocked him out with that spinning back kick and the flying knee and the punches.
Maybe he did. So, where did you see that it was his first?
It just says it right here on Wikipedia. Performance of the night, one time versus Gegard Mousasi. Oh, see, they're stupid. It says one time, but it says versus Gegard Mousasi. So and then they added on Krzysztof Jotko.
I got you.
So that's his second one.
Yes,
so
two.
His last two wins have been performances of the night. So when he does get the win, he does it in
spectacular fashion.
Stunning fashion.
Wonderful. Excellent.
So Uriah Hall with the comeback stunning victory and got himself a performance bonus.
Right. Very nice. In the next one, I kind of thought this one might happen. Daniel Spitz against Anthony Hamilton. The tall, lank dude.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I didn't really know how to expect this one because Anthony Hamilton, big puncher.
You know,
can never count him out. So
but Spitz has been looking nice, I think.
He has. Daniel Spitz is actually, I'm pretty sure he's on a nice little streak. He has won. Oh, no, he lost.
No, he lost against Mark Godbeer, but
Godbeer is a good fighter, though.
Yeah, oh yeah. Know? He looked, I, yeah.
But yeah, before nice. That, when he was in the King of the Cage and his other promotions, he was looking great.
Only, he's only 6-1. That's crazy. He's got a long way to go.
Yeah, he's stringing together some. No, he's not.
No, he's not.
What do you think he does after this? Didn't he call somebody out?
Oh, I don't remember.
Didn't he?
I watched these like barely on my phone because I was at work. Scotty.
Whoa. Scotty's acting crazy. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Did he just fall and now he's crying?
I think.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, Daniel Spitz, 6'7", dude.
Sounds like a baby.
Right.
It does.
It's just a cat.
Spitz was doing a good job, really, keeping that distance, though. He was using that like front kick, definitely using his distance with the punches, and all it took was that right hand to the temple. Mm. Showing off some good power, man.
Right.
He didn't get a knockout. He didn't get a performance bonus for that.
He did not.
That's crazy. 24 seconds into the fight, Daniel Spitz defeated Anthony Hamilton, TKO. Dan Margliotta had to get in there and stop it.
Hamilton didn't even land a punch.
Nope.
Nice win for Spitz.
Mm-hmm. And the bout after that, we had Olivier Aubin Mercier going in against Tony Martin.
Right.
I definitely had Aubin Mercier winning this fight because, I mean, this dude's wrestling is off the chain.
Yeah, the Canadian prospect coming up. He's got a little 3-fight win streak in the lightweight division now.
Yep, and, you know, Tony Martin, definitely a good fighter, does a good job, and I don't know. I don't know how he didn't know what was coming.
No, totally didn't.
Or maybe he did, and Aubin Mercier's wrestling really is just that good, but...
Martin had a lot of... There was pretty even
It was an even fight, but I definitely had Aubin Mercier winning that 2-1.
Nice. Hell yeah. That was a,
and Tony Martin was on a little streak before.
I couldn't find these fights online. That's why I'm kind of like out of it. Like I was not able to watch these ones.
Rewatch them?
Huh?
Rewatch
no,
them?
I worked.
Oh,
and I couldn't go back and find them.
Oh,
the main ones I watched, but I missed the prelims.
Yeah, I did have notes on these, but that was like a week ago, and I can barely not lose my phone and my wallet. So,
way to go. Well done. That's
but
what cargo.
But I do. Are for. I do. Briefly, remember, I do know Tony Martin came back in that last round and did a very good. He gave himself a good chance of coming back, but I thought Aubin Mercier definitely won those first two rounds. So Aubin Mercier defeated Tony Martin via split decision. That was 29-28, 29-28, 28-29.
Moving on to the heavyweight division. The first fighter to come out of the Dana White's Contender Series.
Who won a contract.
Yeah, true.
Right. Or who,
first
actually,
contract winner.
That's not true. This guy didn't win a contract either.
What? Zuanwani did not?
So the people who have fought in the UFC since Dana White's Contender Series have not won a contract with Dana White's Contender Series. So that is a good thing to think of moving forward. Like on season 2, when I'm like, this guy didn't get a contract. He still might get a fight.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know?
Fill in or...
Right.
Who knows?
So, Zhu Anyanwu took a big fight against unbeaten prospect Justin Ledet. And dude, Justin Ledet, he is a force to be reckoned with, man.
I'll say.
Dude, he has 3 good-ass wins in a row against Chase Sherman, the Vanilla Gorilla... And then Mark the Hand of Godbeard. And then he just beat Zhu Anyanwu, man. I mean, I'm surprised, though, how close Anyanwu kept this.
Yeah, it was very even in the strike count.
And Ledet was super... Did you see his reaction after they called the... after they announced the decision, he just looked over at the judges and was like, shook his head like, no, there's no way. And I do agree. I did have Justin Ledet winning that all 3 rounds. Anyanwu did do a good job in that last round. I can definitely see how they, you know, would give it to him. But I just thought Ledet's power.
It wasn't split, was it?
It was a split decision.
It was split. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, one ref actually had Ledet losing 2 rounds, which I don't know. That's impossible because he definitely won the first 2 rounds.
Is that the same one that's? Covered the Triple G fight.
Probably. That was wild, too.
We got to talk about that, too, but First things first.
Yeah. So Justin Ledet stays unbeaten and beats Zhu Anyanwu, who is the second fighter coming from Dana White's Contender Series. Anyanwu, definitely, I see him staying in the UFC. What about you?
Oh, yeah. I think he's got at least another in him.
And that was a hard fight for him.
Right.
Justin Ledet, dude.
And the fact that he kept him up and kept him on his feet, and I even won that last round, you know, that's...
Yeah. So, Ledet moving up in the heavyweight division, do you think he maybe gets a, like, big fight coming up?
At least.
He called out the Vanilla Gorilla, or did he?
He said he beat him.
Who was it that called him out, though?
Shit.
Was that the next week?
Spitz? Was it?
It was Spitz.
Okay.
It was Spitz.
Called out Ledet.
No, he called out Vanilla Gorilla, Chase Sherman.
Okay. Yeah. I got you. Cool.
That's who it was. Ooh, that might be a tough fight for him.
That'd be a good one.
He might ask for a lot with that one.
That'd be a good one.
So we'll see what goes on next for Ledet. Definitely making a case for himself. Three quality wins in a row.
Right.
I see something big coming up for him. The next fight, one of the scariest dudes in the game right now, bro.
Literally. Kamaru Usman.
The Nigerian Nightmare.
My God.
And I see why that's his nickname. Coming up against Sergio Moraes. You already know what happened.
Yeah,
Kamaru Usman,
come on,
man.
Come on.
Just doing a beautiful job switching his stances. His kicks, his punches, all were just so swift. And all it took was that nasty little combo, dude.
Right.
Sick knockout.
Man, he's racked together six.
He just unloaded.
Wins in the UFC now.
He is sick, dude.
So where does that put him?
I mean, he was ranked, what, 13th coming into this?
I don't show him. Number 12, okay.
12, okay. I mean, dude, he beat Sean Strickland before that.
Yeah. That he's got to crack the top 10 with that, I think. I mean, at least he has to fight maybe him and Neil Magny, since he is a shorter fighter. Only by 3 inches, but
unbeaten,
still.
Unbeaten, dude, in the UFC.
Scary, man. Just so much power in his hands.
Hasn't lost since 2013, his second pro fight. Since then, just been on an absolute tear in Legacy, in the UFC, dude. 6-0 in the UFC against great fighters. He beat Leon Edwards, Haider Hassan, Alexander Yakovlev. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's...
Warley Alves, dude. Sean Strickland, and now Sergio Moraes. I mean, he's going to get a big fight. And he said after the fight that nobody wants him. He said nobody in that division wants him.
I would have to agree with that.
Dude, he's something to be reckoned with in that welterweight division, and I think he gets a big fight coming up.
For sure.
Definitely a top, at least maybe a top five. If not, definitely top 10.
Yeah.
Maybe top five.
Maybe Mike Perry. Oh, boy.
Yo, that would be fire. That would be a
matchmaker
crazy.
Matchmaker extraordinaire. Put me in that job, dude.
Yo, Slim, that was nice. That was a good call right there.
Wow, because they're both talking about, top.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
That would be crazy.
We'll get into that. In the next one, well, anyway, yeah, Kamaru Usman putting on a show, getting it done really
beautiful
quick.
Beautiful knockout, right hand.
Getting it done. So next fight, got fight of the night, Gregor Gillespie against Jason Gonzalez. This fight was fun.
War, dude.
Yeah,
absolute
it was great.
War.
These guys went at it. Gillespie ended up getting the submission. What submission was it?
He pulled that off with a... One sec. I'm pretty sure it was like a... Yeah, an arm triangle.
Okay, cool. Yeah, man. That was a... It was a great fight.
Yeah, so... I mean, Gillespie definitely took that first round... And then the second round was still Gillespie. Gonzalez was definitely putting up a great fight, don't get me wrong. But Gillespie just showing off why he's unbeaten and why he's got so much hype behind him, dude.
Yeah,
he's
next,
like,
next big thing.
What was he, like a four-time All-American, I'm pretty sure, in wrestling, dude? I mean, a crazy pedigree
like
behind
that.
Him in wrestling. And then obviously showing off he's got great submissions and he knows how to throw his hands. So.
Right. Now put together three wins in the lightweight division.
Yeah. So you got to watch out, man. I mean, Gregor Gillespie is definitely making a name for himself. And
for sure.
I think he also might get a really big fight coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Not like something crazy like a... Boom. You know what? Maybe even a top 15 fight.
That could be.
I mean, he's showing it off, man. He might get one more and then a top 15 fight.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Gregor Gillespie defeated Jason Gonzalez via submission. or I'm triangle choke, and that was in round two. And the next fight.
Was this at a catchweight? Did they go 185 or was it 190? I don't remember.
I
remember seeing something about that. I think Lombard did it in the past, but.
No, they fought at middleweight.
All right, cool. Anthony Smith, kind of a prospect in himself, fitting Hector Lombard, the former. Was he Strikeforce or Bellator champ? I can't remember.
Hector Lombard. Anyways,
Smith was looking great. Yeah,
Smith's on a 3-win win streak, and yeah, it was Bellator was championship.
Smith was looking excellent. He was definitely using his range, trying to pick him apart. Lombard was trying to keep it close and tight, but yeah, Smith ended up getting the TKO.
Smith showing off why he is really rising up in that division, mm-hmm. and then Lombard, you think that's it? You think he's done?
One more.
Maybe
against like a Nate Marquardt or like...
I don't know, man. He's on a 4-fight losing streak now.
Maybe like a Sam Alvey, you know what I mean? Like
the fight before that, he lost because... he did no originally contest. Win, yeah, but yeah. Then he got hit with anabolic steroids. And jeez. But yeah.
Yeah, has it won since 2014?
I think that might be him. That might be it. Ooh. I think that's what they were doing right there. I think that was kind of their, like, if you don't go in there and win this, then...
That's fair. Drop 4 in a row. That is fair. Smith looked really good, though. I was actually kind of watching this one while I was watching the Triple G fight, so...
Yeah, well, I mean, Smith did a great job. You could have called that second round either way.
Yeah.
I thought Lombard did a great job.
Yeah.
Probably took that round, but Anthony Smith's power and his length prevailed. Right hand.
This
dropped him.
Yeah, dropped him. This next one,
it was right down the middle too. Did you see it? It was so perfectly like right down the middle. Just dropped him.
Right. So this next fight. Okay, so a little backstory. Mike Scary Perry was supposed to fight Thiago Alves.
True.
Been in the welterweight division forever.
And he was really excited about it.
Yeah, I was excited for this.
Yeah.
I think everyone was. This is going to be a stand-up slugging war, and it was really going to be a big test for Mike Perry.
Yeah.
Alves drops out. Some sort of injury. I don't remember what right now. In steps Alec Reyes, a natural lightweight from, I guess he's from, where is he from? I wonder if he'll say.
Who, Alex Reyes?
Yeah. He's from California. I don't know how they found him to step in, but he usually fights a lightweight.
Because he was unbeaten coming into this, am I correct? Okay.
It started out like Alex Reyes was like not looking bad. I mean, he was trying to stay
first two fights. Okay. Sorry, just want to correct.
He was trying to stay on the outside. You know, obviously Mike Perry's got a lot of power, but man, Mike was just the bigger guy. You know, just obviously looked like it was a mismatch and got him out of there with a big knee.
Yeah,
big knee in the clinch.
I mean, shout out first off to Alex Reyes for even stepping in there. That's a very tough first fight to take in the UFC going up against a fighter like Mike Perry. But yeah, dude, like you said, he got caught by that knee. Only took a minute and 19 seconds, dude. Mike Perry keeps on moving down the line, man. And it seems like they're going to start selling Mike Perry a little bit.
I hope. I'm on the Mike Perry train.
You know, I'm not a big fan of him, just because that's what he wants to be. You know, that's supposed to be the whole thing. Like, he's the bad guy.
Yeah. I mean, he kind of sounds like a meathead when you hear him in, like, interviews and stuff, but it's fine. I respect him. He's a fighter's fighter.
I think he's an amazing fighter, you know, but just, like, the personality isn't my thing. You that's know, fair. It's whatever. And usually I like people like that, but...
But you know who he called out, though? Ruthless Robbie Lawler! Bro!
What do you think about that fight?
Oh my god, I would love to see that fight.
That would be nasty.
I think Perry might take Lawler.
He probably would, dude.
I don't know, man.
I think Lawler's won too many battles for something like that.
Well, no, I think he's still got it in him. But I've never seen Perry's wrestling. I've never seen him be challenged on his back or anything like that. So I don't know if he'd be able to beat it like a Woodley. But like, stand and bang, I think he's got anyone in that division, to be honest.
Yeah, his power is up there, dude.
Kamaru Usman. Come on.
That might be the next fight. Woo! That's what I want to see. Woo! That's what I'm cheering for. Mm-hmm. That was a great fight to make, Slim, as you crunch on that pizza into our mic.
Sorry, I'll cut this out.
It's okay. No, you won't. We can go back in our show, and so many times we've been like, we'll cut that out, and we didn't.
Sometimes I do. Sometimes I forget the spot. This one was at 24. Okay, cool.
All right. So, yeah, like I said, Mike Perry, huge knee, round one, knockout. I agree with you, Slim. Kamaru Usman versus Mike Perry would be an awesome fight to make.
Let's get it.
In the main event of the evening, we had Luke Rockhold coming back off that devastating loss he had to Michael Bisping.
Over a year.
Yep.
Long layoff.
It's been a long while. And he was going up against David Branch, who, you know, just came into the UFC, got some big wins, had a lot of hype behind him.
No, he was in the UFC, left, came back.
Okay, yeah, you got me right there, Slim. We all know Monty doesn't know his old UFC facts.
I believe it was World Series of Fighting that he went to.
He was, and he was the champion there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he... this is so crazy. I can't believe he actually did this.
What?
Branch tapped out.
Yeah, to strikes.
Due to strikes, man.
To strikes! You're getting punched! The ref will stop you. Just quit fighting back. Don't tap out.
What do you think about that, Slim?
I think that's a bitch move.
That's wild.
I understand.
Man.
Like, Luke Rockhold's on your back and is laying waste to you, slugging.
I mean, we've heard of that happen before. Shit, Jamar. Didn't Jamar tap out like two dudes? His first two fights were like tap outs?
Mm hmm.
I mean, I don't know, man. That's crazy. That just kind of shows to me the dominance of one Luke Rockhold. That just shows that he's really up there in that part of the division, bro. He shouldn't be fighting anybody but the elite part of that division.
I thought Branch was able to, in the first round, he came out with a flurry that kind of stunned Luke Rockhold.
He definitely won that first round. And, dude, but in a 5-round fight, Luke Rockhold can hang in there with anybody, dude.
Man, he looked really good.
Branch did almost have it, though. Andy had a nice little, did you see when he fingered Rockhold's eye?
No.
It was gross.
I remember that. Branch, though, trying to keep it in close in the clinch was obviously his game plan. And he was doing really good in the first round, but Luke Rockhold, you know who Luke Rockhold trains with? Fucking Cain Velasquez, Khabib,
all these
strong-ass
Cormier.
Right, grapplers and wrestlers that there's no way you're going to be better than him in any sort of physical thing like that.
And he, to end it, he just ended up trapping him with a body triangle. And I mean, if Luke Rockhold gets you in a body triangle, you're in a lot
of
trouble.
It. I think Luke Rockhold takes anyone in the ground in that division.
Hmm. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Damn.
Hot take.
That was a kind of hot take.
Called out after the win. GSP says, GSP, just drop out, dude. Save yourself the embarrassment. You don't want this. Let me get my fight. This is my fight. This should be happening. And I agree. Well, technically should be Robert Whittaker's, but you know what I'm saying.
You agree like he should actually do that, or you just like agree that it's his fight?
Agree that it should be Rockhold getting the fight in general.
That's dope.
Yeah.
I definitely think GSP and Bisbing's the fight to make. I've seen so many people who aren't huge fans be like, "Oh, Bisbing's coming back or GSP's coming back." Yeah.
Yeah, because he was like a household name back in the day, but
right
against Bisbing and getting an immediate title shot against a division you've never fought in.
We've talked about this so many times, Slim.
I know
it's upsetting. About what sells the fights.
I'm still upset.
So yeah, that was UFC in Pittsburgh.
Fight night 116.
Rockhold versus David Branch. Overall, fun card. I thought it was pretty deep.
I liked it.
Yeah, I had a good time watching it. And sucks we didn't get to go to it. But the next one that's close to us, you know, we'll pull it off.
Hopefully whenever they come back to Cleveland.
Yeah, so do you want to do St. Preux versus Okami?
You want to take a quick break? Eat a piece of pizza? Come back?
Yeah, because nobody wants to hear you.
Yeah, no. Munching, chomping, munch, crunch. You're connected.
Okay, I got something for
y'all. Go ahead, bud. Play us out.
I want to hear some facts. I want to hear some facts. Okay.
Some facts.
No tracks?
Oh, yeah, some tracks.
Hi out there in lousy weather media network land. Do you hate stuff?
I hate stuff.
No, you hate stuff. I'm trying to figure out if the listeners out there...
Do you hate stuff? You listening right now, do you hate stuff? There's got to be something you hate.
Well, some of those things might match up with some of the things we talk about on Let the Hate Flow Through You, a podcast done by me, Jeremy Shear, and El Hordano Diablo.
That's me.
Yeah, he's late on the cues, but he's a firebrand.
But quick on the brews.
Quick on the... he is. He's got a drinking problem, and I hate it.
And Jeremy hates it.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate your drinking problem.
That's fine.
I hate your fat belly.
You love that.
Okay, that's true. I do love his fat belly.
But he hates me.
We'll get into that on Let the Hate Flow Through You, which we release every Monday.
Because everybody hates Mondays.
I really fucking hate you.
I hate you too.
Goddamn Garfield-ass motherfucker.
I hate recording commercials. I'm done. Soon as you rock the chain, she caught the waves, just thumbing through my brains.
Thumbing.
Taylor's about to fall asleep. Taylor's looking like her eyes are really heavy.
They are.
That's funny. Yo, I can't believe he knocked out Kylie, bro.
Yeah, yeah. I can.
Bro. Why? Tyga couldn't, but Travis Scott could.
In Love Galore, he said, "Let me come inside you.
Let me plant that seed inside you.
Oh, yeah, he did say that.
Ass and tits. Ass and tits, tits. Only thing that stuck with me." Huh. Interesting. Anyways.
Why'd you bother me? So, oh, that's funny.
Yesterday morning or some shit? I don't know.
What?
When was it? Was it yesterday night, but it was morning there?
I don't know.
It was 10 in the morning there.
Yeah.
Why? Why would you have a UFC card at 10 in the morning?
Because it caters to the North American crowd. They do that shit overseas,
too. That's
so whack. They'll have a fight at 4 in the morning.
That's so whack.
In, like, Ireland and shit.
That's so whack.
Literally. Like, what if people got to work tomorrow?
That's so whack. Anyways, I didn't know
white
that.
Privilege.
I wasn't
hit. Well, yeah. American privilege?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Way to catch that one before it fell off the deep end.
We're the only country that matters.
So yeah, cool. Exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, so yeah.
It good was for us.
10 in the morning for them, but 10 at night for us.
This ended up being what we wanted.
Yeah, this ended up being a pretty decent card.
It was fun.
I really enjoyed it. There was a ton of finishes, except for the prelims. I fell asleep during one of them. I'll admit it.
Damn.
I'll admit it.
It was like that slam?
No, I'd miss the whole thing. I missed the whole one. Oh, man. It was the girl fight. I wanted to see them.
It was nice, too.
Oh.
It was good.
Dude, that was one of the... Oh.
That sucks.
I'm so pissed you fell asleep during that one.
Are you serious, bro?
Yeah. That really sucks.
That's one of the funnest ones to talk about.
Are you serious? This fucking guy.
Oh, my God. Oh, dude. Okay, so...
all right, watch us struggle through this.
All right. Let's start with the first freaking fight.
Okay. In the first fight, we had... Daichi Abe. Against... Hyun Gai Lim.
No.
Hyun Gu Lim.
Yep, good job.
Hyun Gu Lim, the very... Oh, I actually took notes on this. Extremely longer fighter.
The ace.
Yeah, had
6'3".
Yeah, for lightweight,
that's... Very tall.
Whew. No, they're welterweight, I'm sorry. Still pretty tall.
You know who his last loss was against?
Who's that?
Mike Perry.
Oh.
And before that, he had lost against Neil Magny.
Wow.
And he had also lost against Tariq Safadine. So, I mean, this dude's fought a lot of great fighters.
Yeah, they've thrown him in there.
He also fought Pascal Cross, and he actually beat him. That was at UFC 164, man. That was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. Lim had a 7.5-inch reach advantage coming into this fight. Choo!
Yeah.
He was a bigger fighter. Yeah, he was getting countered early.
Mm-hmm.
The range not proving too much of an issue for Abe.
Yeah, Abe won that first round. He did a very good job following exactly what you said, but that second round...
Yeah, landing several nice counters.
Lim just started really sniping at him those long limbs. And
that's right, he was clocking him.
Yeah, dude, he was putting in some nice punches, some nice counters. He has a strong right hand, man.
Right.
But AB has a good chin, and you know, that was a tough second round, but it was definitely Lim's. Mm-hmm. And then in the third round, AB definitely came out and took over the fight, got inside of that range, and did a very good job.
Yeah, I had it 1-1 going into the third.
Me too. You know, it was obviously whoever won that round was going to get it, and AB definitely showed the heart and the more will to win this fight. And dude, Lim's nose was fucked up.
Oh my god, yeah.
It was a bloody mess.
I think it was from that last punch at the end. It was like a right hook.
It was like a huge right, yeah, big right hand. Yeah, he dropped Lim with that, and that could have, that probably honestly won him the round.
I'm sure he stole that, if anything.
Yeah, I mean, it was both of them were throwing, trying to get the big one towards the end, but it was AB who ended up dropping Lim to the canvas, and AB did a good job to squeeze out the fight. He ended up getting the unanimous decision over Hyungyu Lim.
It's a 25-year-old.
29, 29, 29s all the way across.
Is he undefeated?
Daichi AB?
Yeah, he is. Good for him.
Yeah, and
he's only 25?
Just fought, like we said, a very experienced fighter.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, Hyungyu Lim only loses to the really kind of upper-class fighters.
Right.
Daichi AB.
It's freaking out.
Did a great job.
Did a great job!
In the second fight, this was kind of a surprise to me, man. We had Luke the Jedi Jumo going up against... man, I should have let you read these. Dang it.
Shinsho Anzai.
Anzai, good job.
Anzai had only fought twice in the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
The Jedi, a pretty good wrestler, and
1-0 in the UFC.
Yeah, pretty good on the feet, on the hands too.
Definitely,
he got clapped in the first round, but he ended up covering up nicely.
Yeah,
Anzai had 12 takedown attempts and only got one of them.
Dude, he was coming going forward at all times. And Jumo definitely showed great takedown defense. Obviously, like you said, only got one of them. And Anzai is a pretty accomplished Japanese wrestler, so that kind of shows that Jumo definitely has a good base in wrestling. Mm-hmm. And then in the second round,
Anzai had a huge takedown. What was this that one? Was it a slam? Yeah. Oh my god,
that was nasty. Anzai really surprised me, dude. And yo, I just want to point this out. Did you see how hairy my shoulders, man? How hairy my man's shoulders were. They were like, at first I was like, what is that? Is he like dirty? And then it like zoomed in, and it was hair on his like shoulders. I've never seen that.
Give me like 5 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That nasty Polack hair.
Yeah, give me 5 years. Yucky. I'll be Taylor's full like, Wookiee status. God.
And this still got a long way to go, baby. Damn, she put me off.
Oh,
in the third round, Jumo took over that fight.
Started pulling it back together.
Yeah, stuffed a takedown. Ended up getting a Did he get a takedown that round?
No. Majority of Enzai's takedown attempts were in the last round, though, and he was not able to get one.
Yeah. He did a good job, but Anzai's just aggression overall really paid off.
Yeah, he was definitely controlling the cage and all that.
Did a good job with the hands, you know. Jumo, what did he need to do to win that fight? I thought he just needed...
Knockout, pretty much. I mean, overall.
More
leg kicks would have probably won him the fight. He would have took out the base of Anzai. I feel like he wouldn't have attempted takedowns as much. But at the same time, Jumo, if he was throwing leg kicks, could get taken down more.
He could have kind of scared Anzai with coming forward if he was working those legs.
Right,
possibly even throwing a knee if Anzai was coming forward if he knew.
Or uppercuts.
Coming.
Uppercuts would have been nice.
Definitely uppercuts would have worked a lot. So Jumo will go back and come back strong. That was his first loss in the UFC, so he's now 1-1 in there, and Anzai is now 10-2, and maybe we'll see him again soon.
Very nice.
Now, in this next fight, I wish I had like all these things about Shuri Kondo. I guess she's like super famous in Japan. She's done so many things. She like has like done commercials and like acting and a bunch of wild stuff. So
really?
She came in against Chanmi Zhan, who is known as a Poggy girl, I'm pretty sure. An Poggy. That might not be what it's called. Let me see if I'm...
What is that?
Saying it right. A Toggy. My bad. I was saying a Poggy. My stupid ass.
What is that?
An Atoggy in Korea is a toy that you knock down and it just always stays standing.
Oh.
So that's a cool nickname.
For, yeah, you know? That is cool.
So, she is the youngest fighter in the UFC. Chanmi is.
How old is she?
She's 20 years old.
Nice. Oh, I thought Sage might be 21 now.
Sage is grown now, boy.
Wow, that's weird that we're seeing fighters come up younger than us.
Yeah, Chanmi Zhan coming in at 20 years old, dude, fighting out of South Korea.
Damn, she's only 5'2".
Took on a very popular... person, I guess, in Japan, in Shuri Kondo, who is coming in unbeaten.
Right.
And, dude, it was a awesome fight. That's I can't believe test. You fell asleep for it. It was super close.
I didn't even know. I like, closed my eyes for a second. I didn't even know who was fighting yet.
Oh, dude, it was a tight battle. Kondo was the more aggressive fighter. Yeah. And then that's what ended up winning the fight because she was the one who was initiating the action.
I got you.
But Chanmi Zhan was doing a great job. That first round could have definitely went either way. The second round was definitely won by Kondo. She ended up bloodying Zhan up a little bit in that round. And then in the third round, like I said, it could have just went either way. And dude, this chick Zhan like screams really loud
when she punches.
All the time. Like, she screamed when she was sitting on her stool, like, just... like, the craziest, like, war cry what? Ever. And then, after the fight when she lost, she screamed. When what? She was punching, she screamed. I mean, at all times, the chick was just screaming, bro. She's crazy.
Okay.
It was scary.
All right. Well, war cry.
You're going home?
No, I'm just going to go to the car. Just
because
I'm sleepy.
Well, that's probably not the safest place to go sleep.
Fine, really. I'm going to lock the door. Don't worry.
There's a living room in here, Taylor. Okay. Huh. That's odd.
Damn. See, we have guests not show up. We have guests walk out on us.
Damn. Are we that weak?
We're not popping Maybe. Anymore. I thought we were popping. But
I guess we have been kind of garbage this first like part of the show.
Shit. You need to step it up.
I know. Damn.
Do better.
That hurts. All right.
Getting back.
We're back, guys.
Yeah. Hey, it's MMA. Episode 24. Wow. MMA.
boom. God damn it.
Wake right. the fuck up. We're eating pizza and shit. What? This Dude, is unlike
we
us.
We are bums.
We're losing guests. Jesus we're Christ. Losing listeners.
What happened?
Vicariously.
Anyway. All right, so. The third round.
Chanmi is screaming.
Oh, yeah. Chanmi is a screamer. Wild, dude. Scary as fuck. So, anyways, the fight ended up being scored 30-27, 30-27, 29-28. And the 29-28 was in favor of Chanmi Zhan.
Wow.
So, the other two refs had it all three rounds to Kondo, which, I mean, I thought Zhan definitely won at least that third round, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, she could have taken that first one, and I definitely thought she could have possibly had that third one.
Mm-hmm.
I also had it 29-28 going in favor of Zhan.
Okay.
So, even though Kondo was the one initiating the action, I thought Zhan was just a little bit more crisp on the feet.
Yeah.
Threw nice body strikes with her kicks.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought she was the one who won it, and I don't see how 30-27 was scored twice, but the Japanese celebrity gets the big win here, and Shuri Kondo is now, I'm pretty sure, 7-0.
And Chanmi takes her second loss in the UFC.
In a row. So, wow. But, Chanmi is 20 years old. So,
oh, yeah.
I mean...
Ton of time.
So much time to fight, and she said she gets her inspiration and grew up watching JJ, Joanna...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, J-Check.
Sweet.
So, that's pretty crazy that she watched Joanna, and, like, that Joanna's been, like, how long she been popping, really? Like, probably, like, 5 years?
Know. She's a little older, but still.
6-7 years?
Maybe she was watching on the regional circuit.
Yeah, that's crazy. Huh. In the next fight, this was a pretty pretty hyped up fight, and it was a good little bang out. We had Alex Morano going up against Keita Nakamura. Slim?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Morano, let me see here. I had something I want to say about him. He's only 27. Most of these fights tonight seem to be... Sure,
kind of 6-0. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Okay. Most of these fights tonight seem to be in the welterweight division. That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
He's coming off a no contest over Nico Price. It was overturned. I did not get to see why.
Nico Price tested positive for marijuana.
Ah, damn.
Nico Price is a savage, though.
They overturned it.
He is a fucking savage.
That's some bullshit.
He is such a beast. Anyways, in that first round, Morano did a good job. He was pretty aggressive. He definitely came out looking to ready to bang out. But Nakamura was very...
He was
very
ready
patient.
For him. Yeah, he was solid.
He was ready, but he was very patient with the striking. And Nakamura did a good job with his defensive fighting. Kind of like John Jones-ish, you know?
Yeah.
It was just a... Really, like, good on the defense while also counter-striking.
Yeah.
So, that first round, I had it going to Nakamura. It was definitely a close round. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was such a hard fight. There were so many fights on this card that were
very close, hard to call, dude. Second round, definitely for Morano. He seemed to put a little more pep in his step,
yeah,
if you will. He only threw 15
punches.
He threw more, but he only landed 15 punches.
He was kind of looking for the big punch. Yeah. He was looking for the big punch.
True. And then going into the third, it pretty much was 1-1 to me, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Nakamura got 2 takedowns, and I feel like that's kind of what won him the fight.
Yeah, Nakamura was coming forward at the end, was just using that left hand, dude. I mean, he's a good fighter. Nakamura definitely... Keeps it active, keeps it fun. He was leaking,
dude. You say he's undefeated, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he? Did I say that?
I thought you did.
Nah, he's not unbeaten.
Was Morano?
He's 30. Bro, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
He's 33-8.
Okay, yeah. He's been in for a while.
And he's 3-5 in the UFC now. So that is his first decision victory since 2012.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Damn, he had 3 losses in a row. And wow, he started in 2006 in the UFC. Holy shit, man! This guy's been in forever.
Yeah, Nakamura was popping in Japan back in the day.
He was 22 doing that shit.
Keitaro, bro. Yeah, he's been in it for a minute. He used to fight all the crazy people back in there in deep, and then he fought in Shuto a couple times. He did fight in the UFC. Yeah, back in the day, he fought Brock Larson, Drew Fickett, and Rob Emerson in the UFC.
Hell yeah. So that'll conclude the fight pass prelims.
Nakamura.
Which I ended up watching on... This was on FXX.
Yeah.
How did you get to watch? You do have it at your house?
Yes.
Okay.
I got FXX.
Did you not before? I feel like we couldn't watch it.
No, it's FS...
2.
Oh, is it FS2?
Yeah,
FS2.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so Keita Nakamura ended up beating Alex Morano. That was a split decision. 29-28. How'd you have that? Nakamura?
Same. Yeah, same.
I had Nakamura win in 29-28. So, in the next fight, man, this was a surprise for me.
Yeah, I thought it was going to go a little more the other way.
Not maybe
all the way the other way.
You read the names.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Oka Sasaki.
Yep.
Against Jussier Formiga.
Jussier da Silva Formiga.
Formiga. Not that I thought Saki would win, but I thought that he would be maybe the more...
He's known for his crisp strike.
Exactly.
Striking.
Exactly.
So I was definitely expecting to come out. He had a very big size advantage.
Yeah.
Crazy reach advantage. And I knew he wouldn't want to go to the ground with Formiga.
No,
so,
not at all.
I was just so surprised that Formiga was coming out ready to punch. He was ready to throw him.
Yeah.
And, my bad. Sasaki did a counter a couple times, and that got the attention of Formiga, but, dude.
Man, one big punch got Sasaki to the ground.
Yeah.
And Formiga jumped on that neck.
Yep, Formiga got right into that body triangle, and from that point, you knew it was over. He ended up squeezing that neck super tight, just dropped him. Ended it.
Yeah, that's how it went. It was a lot quicker than I thought it would.
First round, dude.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that. That was a pretty big upset, dude. I mean, Sasaki dropped down to that flyweight division, and since then, dude, hasn't been good for him. 2-2.
No, but how tall is he?
He's huge for that division. Massive, bro. He's like
5'10".
Yeah.
That's giant.
In the flyweight division.
Yeah, but he's just a skinny ass dude.
Fighting Formiga, who is 5'5".
Hmm.
That's wild.
That is wild. He probably had a lot of reach, too. But interesting.
You know?
I don't know. Maybe he can make a comeback.
UCA Formiga coming in, getting that rear naked choke.
Looking
in
nice.
The fourth minute of the first round.
Looking nice.
That might have been an upset. I'm not sure. I didn't see those odds.
This next fight. Oh, my God.
I do just want to point out, though, that Formiga, all his stoppages have been by submission.
Oh, really?
Is that wild?
That is. Yeah. Good for him. He could have finished Saki with punches. So, yeah. Saki.
Yeah. He's now tied for the third most wins in the UFC flyweight.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
Division. That's awesome.
So.
That's wild.
You know, Formiga maybe making a little run towards the top?
Uh-oh.
Upsetting.
Well, upsetting. They're throwing anyone and everyone at DJ, so.
Upsetting the prospects.
Right.
So, Formiga now up to 20-5 in UFC.
Hell yeah. This next fight, man. I actually went out and bought a cup.
My boy.
I actually went out and got a physical just so they could check and make sure my balls were still intact.
God.
Because I know by the end of this fight, Tsuruto Ishihara's balls.
Monty's favorite fighter. Not going to point that out? Hello?
Yeah, Monty's favorite's. His nuts had to have been fucking sore.
Yeah, so poor Tsuruto, because you know he was trying to get mad pussy after this.
Right, Tsuruto Yashabo Ishihara getting. Is that his first win in the UFC? His first win recently,
no,
I know that.
Silly.
It's his first win recently.
He's been knocking shit. My man is now up to 10-4, and you know what? He had a tough little two fights in a row, okay? He fought Artem in his place there in Northern Ireland.
Right.
Tsuruto was like, fuck it, I'll go there and fight him. And then he fought Gray Maynard, who is a fucking great wrestler, and Tsuruto doesn't really like wrestling, so we knew what was going to happen there. But before that, he was on a tear. He had beaten Horacio Gutierrez, got a performance of the night for that one, and then knocked out Julian Arosa. And before that, he had a draw against Mizuta Hirota, who had dropped out of this fight. Remember that?
Yeah.
Are we going to talk about that?
I do remember that one. You can talk about it.
Dude who stumbled off the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You're the one who sent it to me.
I did. What was his name again? That was
Mizuto Hirota.
He was trying to make the featherweight limit, and he walked up to the scale. Scale on the stage is what I tried to say there, to combine the words. And he had his like hand on his hip, and he like took his Nike slides off or whatever they were, and like started to kind of shuffle up there to the scale. Stepped up on with still with his hand on his hip, and they said, 150. And you could tell, it was funny, the dude who called it out was just made a face like, you piece of shit. And then, and then like walked
you
away.
Piece of shit.
And then he fucking backpedaled off the scale and almost fell. Like his teammates
had to be caught.
Yeah. And so they pulled him. They were like, no, you can't fight, dude.
So, dude, before that was hoping to get rebooked and hoping to get some money. Kind of same situation with DJ.
Yeah.
We're going to have to figure out what happens with that.
Man, that needs to not be up in the contract.
It needs to not be up in the air.
They go, oh, doesn't make weight, can't fight, cool. I either get all his money or at least some of mine. Like, whatever. Anyway, Tsuruto Yashabo Ishihara.
Back to the fucking nut kicks, okay?
Against Rolando Dai. Or is it D?
D.
It's D. Man, this dude
Yashabo
did not know how to keep it above the belt.
What about that first 20 seconds, though, when D just, like, turned around real quick and Ishihara just yammed him with that left and dropped him, almost finished it right there in the first round?
Oh, my Lord.
That first round was 100% a 10-8, right, Slim?
For sure.
100%
a 10-8. So he landed 5 times more strikes than.
So you knew that D was going to have to come back and definitely win the first or the next 2 rounds to at least get a draw.
But honestly, I thought he did.
He did. He won that. He definitely won that second round. He took over.
I'm saying if he didn't get that point taken away, I think he won that fight.
No, it would have been a draw. It would have been a majority draw.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty positive. It was 10-9 the next rounds 2 and 3. Yeah. If he wouldn't have gotten taken away.
That's fair.
So, yeah, I mean, that was huge. But who knows? I mean, Taruto was getting kicked in the fucking nuts the whole fight.
I know. And
so.
It actually had him. You said he didn't like wrestling. He was going for takedowns because, you know, he was just not.
He's been training really hard with his wrestling, too.
Well, yeah, he trains with Team Alpha Male. That's all they know is fucking wrestling over there.
Yeah, he's been really practicing on that. And if you notice that, like, forward left, oh my god, like, diving kind of punch that he has, he's really been working on that with Team Alpha Male. So, my boy, Taruto, took a couple fucking 3 shots to the nuts, but he's still in here.
A couple.
My man's back at him. About to, you know, get those winning streaks
going. I follow him on Instagram. He was, like, pulling out of this fucking limo, going to the after party.
He's dope, isn't
he? Good for him.
Isn't he dope? He's funny. He's awesome.
I fuck with him.
A great personality. If they really promoted Taruto, he would shine, dude.
For sure.
So, Taruto Ishihara Yoshabo, which means rascal in Japanese.
I did not know that.
Defeated Rolando D via unanimous decision.
In his home country. That's awesome. Good for him.
And yeah, that was a 29-27, 28-27, 28-27, which he actually would have won that one, according to the judges, because it was 29-27, 28-27, 28-27.
Who would have won that one?
Ishihara. He would have technically
had
won.
What?
Or if there's two judges saying it's a draw and one judge saying one fighter won, is it still a draw?
I don't know. Is that a majority draw? I don't know.
Might be a split draw. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
I'm not sure how that would go. Because they say, like, majority draw. So I don't...
Yeah, we'll have to... We should probably know that.
Yeah, well, but you know, that's what we do. anyway.
Next up, we had...
Henri
Da Silva going up against...
Accomplished. The internet accomplishments? Is that what it was?
That's like how I found him.
Okay.
Saw his internet accomplishments.
Gokan Saki.
Saki bombs.
Saki bombs. Bro. Man, they were throwing.
So this fight like felt kind of longer than it was for some reason.
Honestly.
The first 2 minutes pretty much were just Gokhan Saki picking his punches, dude.
Yeah.
Throwing clean kicks. Oh, dude, his kicks were nasty.
For
those
sure.
Head kicks, you could tell. If you get caught by one of those, it might be night-night.
Some Crow Cop shit.
Yeah, exactly. So, Frankenstein is the nickname of Henri.
Fathead?
That's not
the fathead, I know. But he's still a fathead.
He's a fathead, but he's got a Frankenstein head.
Right.
Dude looks scary.
Man, but he was taking them shots early on, and he started delivering on his own.
Started coming back, dude. I mean, he was trying to get those takedowns. You know, Saki was doing a great job of defending him. Very surprised by how good his takedown defense was.
Oh, yeah.
And, so Frankenstein ended up making a little comeback, was catching Saki.
Yeah,
Saki was looking pretty tired.
Had Saki on the fence.
Even at one point, Saki stepped back and put his hands on his hips. You could tell he was... He might not be ready to go a full...
Because after that third minute, he'd never done that before.
Ever.
Well, in his first fight, I guess. But I mean, like, you know, at this level of competition.
Yeah.
Never done that before. So it's like, you could tell. He was just like, oh, shit, we're not taking a break yet.
Yeah, it's crazy. So other than that, though, I mean, Da Silva was doing a good job. He was coming forward, catching Saki. At that point, I was like, I thought Saki was about to go to sleep on the debut, but
had Saki against the cage, but he weathered the storm, took a couple big shots, and swung back on his
own. Threw some killer, like those left hooks. Those hooks were so crazy, bro.
Those were insane.
Those were so mean. I see why they call him the Turkish Tyson. Those punches were wild, bro.
Hell
you would not want to be touched by one of those. So he didn't even have to follow it up. It was a walk-off.
Right. Caught
him with that crazy left.
Part of me wants to say it was an early stoppage, but I couldn't see why they stopped it. Because De Silva really did kind of put his hands down when he fell.
Yeah, there was no need for some follow-up punches. But, yeah. I mean, it was very late in the round. Maybe he could have gone another 15 seconds. Who knows? It's up for debate. But
yeah, well, either way, Gonzaga makes great in his UFC debut.
Yeah, so that is his first win in MMA overall. He's now 1-1.
Really anxious to see what he does in this division. The lacking light heavyweight division lately.
Yeah, so De Silva is now.
So does he fight Volkan Ozdemir?
No,
I'm kidding.
No, not yet.
I'm kidding.
Not yet. But De Silva, man, now he's on 4 losses in a row.
In UFC?
Yeah, he started out 12-0, dude. He's now dropped 4 in a row. So
something needs to change with you, bud.
He hasn't won a fight since October of 2016.
Oh, man.
My man needs to make a little comeback. That was kind of
He's had 4 fights since then?
Yeah.
In a year?
Putting
That's
in
dope.
Work.
Wow.
Putting in work.
Good for him.
But Gokhan Saki, you know, that was a tough fight to take. And
man, capitalize.
Saki might be a little boost there in that light heavyweight division.
Yeah.
Might bring some energy to it.
I think so. Or at least a name behind him.
Yeah. I mean, he's sick, dude. He got me excited. That was kind of like my main event of the night, other than Taruto.
Yeah, I was excited about that one. This next fight made me sad.
Oh, Slim.
The Fireball Kid.
Yeah.
Not looking very much like a kid anymore.
Did you think something else was going to happen?
I don't know. It's in Japan. Like he's fought in that arena so many times in Pride.
Pride, right.
I thought he would, you know, come back and throw some bangers.
So many great fights there in that Saitama Super Arena.
He threw 2 punches.
Oh, dude, that he used to fight so many times. He grew up right down the... Or was that him? No, I'm hollering.
I think I'm
hollering. But anyways, my man has now dropped 5 in a row. And as I asked you earlier about Hector Lombard, Slim, that's it, right?
I hope. I do not want to see him lose in this fashion again. I've seen some people on Twitter saying it was an early stoppage, and I'm like, no. He got knocked down and almost out. Like, it was not an early stoppage. Dong Young Kim.
The maestro.
Not the welterweight.
No, the maestro.
Is a way younger fighter. How old is he?
29.
And Firewall Kid's, what, 39, I think? Yeah, that's a huge difference for, like, if you're getting rocked that much, in which he has dropped his last 5, well, even 4 before that, you know, it's just...
Right.
Oh, so upsetting, man. You should have seen his fight with Nate. Well, I mean, Nate Diaz washed him, but he has had some decent fights in the UFC.
Yeah.
Go back and watch that. Nate Diaz versus Takanori Gomi.
His fight with Diego Sanchez, he won fight of the night versus Mac Danzig. That was a split decision. And then he also had a fight of the night versus Isaac Valley Flag. So, you know, he's had some good battles that we haven't gotten to see yet. I'll do some digging on my UFC Shindig fight pass.
Do that. Tony, right. They said that Nate actually went in high when he fought him.
Yeah, we'll check that out.
Yeah.
So, Takanori Gomi.
another one.
Might have to.
Hang up the Spurs, please. Do it for me. Don't want to see you lose again. Same with all the other legends. BJ, come on.
Can't do it, dude.
Don't want to see it.
No.
But this next fight honestly made up for any sadness that I had acquired from watching this card.
Damn. Dude, this was by far one of the best, maybe the best women's
fight
ever.
That I've ever seen, honestly.
It could quite possibly be the greatest women's fight of all time.
This fight was amazing. Like, there was just so much backstory and just so much, like, behind it that it was just like, wow.
Yeah, such a great build up to the fight, and man,
number 1 strawweight in the world contender Claudia Gadelha.
Yep.
Against number 6 Jessica Andrade. Andrade, who was her big win? She had, like, a big win earlier.
I don't know, but she did.
Well, she's coming off that loss against Joanna.
She landed 242 total strikes. That is the most ever in a UFC strawweight fight slam.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
More than Joanna's thrown.
The most punches ever landed in a strawweight fight goes to Jessica Andrade. She's
the truth. What else can you say about her?
She's coming up, and that's the first time that Gadea has ever not gotten a takedown in a fight.
Really? Mm-hmm. She had 7 attempts and got none of them.
Yep, so that shows Andrade's her strength and got mean wrestling, dude, and her power is
just nuts. Like, I thought, like, the first round came out, it was like, okay, like, these girls are going at it, like, all
right,
cool.
Yeah, right.
Andrade got a takedown, and it was kind of like, all right, well, Claudia's got to do better about not letting that happen again. That second round, dude!
Oh, my goodness.
Dude. Oh, I just opened my notes again. I forgot to say this. When Gokhan Saki won, he took his mouthpiece out and fucking punted it across the out in the
That
out
thing
the
looked like it could have possibly went like 60 yards.
Yeah,
that was a sick. Mean punt.
I'm sorry. I just had to end that or throw that in there. But Claudia ended the first round pretty well.
Definitely.
Andrade came back and literally just did not stop.
Really took that second round, man.
Literally, but took the fight from there on.
Yeah,
it was all Jessica Andrade. Well, I don't remember what round it was, second or third, but she had a huge slam.
Oh.
When she fucking flipped her over and just like suplexed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
I think that was the second one. She had Gadea's left eye totally busted up. And then in that second round, though, Gadea almost had her choked out. Almost had Andrade totally choked out. And
yeah.
Andrade got saved by the bell.
Literally.
So
Claudia was a mess, though.
Yeah.
Her face was bloodied up.
Dude, that was...
So that kind of shakes things up, you know. She was number one.
And then Gadea also got a... She tried getting a guillotine, and then Andrade just did another crazy slam there at the end in the third round.
Right. Scotty boy.
Scotty.
What do you require?
Wow.
Jesus. Jeez, so, man. Both these girls lost to Joanna. Andrade more
All
recently than Claudia. But so I just feel like... Eventually, Joanna's gonna fucking crack, right? And one of these girls can assume that no,
she
can keep going forever.
Forever.
She's about to beat Ronda's record.
Yep. Isn't it the next one?
Yeah.
Our next fight. Yep.
Next one. Which is coming up, right? 117.
217.
Yeah. Did you see Sean's bowler of the week?
Yeah, that shit's sick.
I want one of those.
His hair was sick. Shout out Bill Squire.
Yeah, shout
always
out Bill
being funny and shit. And murderous devil clowns.
Bro, Burgers and Breakdowns. That's when the Chance and all them first found out about Sean and Underdead Sky. You don't know what you're doing. leave the screaming to the pro.
I guess so. You just sounded like you were
can't
like,
do a
pig
squeal, bro. Wait, no, that was bad. You sound like you're like just got stabbed in the esophagus. Like, I can't breathe.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh.
Anyway, Jessica Andrade, huge win for her.
Beat Claudia Gadea, unanimous decision. 30-25, 30-26, 30-27.
25?
Yeah, there was a 30-25 in there.
The first one had to be 10-9.
It could have possibly, those two rounds, dude, could have possibly been 10-8s.
Damn. No, would that even have been 10-8?
Even though Andrade almost...
8-8, 16-9. Yeah, I guess.
Even though Andrade almost choked her out there in the second round. Gadea almost choked out Andrade in the second round.
Right.
I still had Andrade possibly winning that fight 30-25. I thought it was 30-26.
Right. Well, so, anyway. Yeah, but one of the best women's fights I've ever seen.
Definitely. If you can ever watch that fight ever, do it. That's gonna end up being like in the UFC Instant Classics for sure.
Right.
So in the main event of the evening, we had
Ovin St. Preux, who was supposed to fight Mauricio Shogun-Hua for the second time now.
Yep.
Because Hua has been on a tear lately. He's come up on his last 3 wins, I believe.
True.
Pretty much out of nowhere. Like he was like kind of doing what all the old legends do, pitter-pattering out, and then he just came back and just started putting together a collection of wins.
Yeah.
OSP was not one of them, though. He did beat him. I think it was, when was that? 2013? 2014? Something like that. So it was the rematch, you know? OSP's not been looking the best as of late. He did beat, was it Fathead Silva?
Was it Fathead Silva?
Like the original Fathead Silva?
Marcos Rogerio?
Yeah, Rogerio de Lima, who always misses weight. Yep.
Yeah.
Before that fight, he was coming off three losses to John Jones, Jimmy Manuwa, and Volkan Oldsmir. I mean, the top five fighters in the world. And so, I mean, that's understandable. But now he's coming back, starting to try to regain some momentum, if you will, in the light heavyweight division. And Rua dropped out. Definitely. Due to an injury. So, in steps, Yushin Thunder Okami.
Hasn't fought in the UFC since 2013?
What? For real?
No. Am I right?
No.
I'm not right?
No. He fought... Yeah. Has it been that long? Are you serious? He's 36. Damn.
Am I right?
You are right, but goddamn.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so... basically... what happened was Yushin Okami shot in for a takedown. Didn't get it.
Well, first of all, Okami's never fought at light heavyweight in his life. He actually weighed in underweight.
Okami's never fought at...
He's a middleweight.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I mean, he might have in the past, but I've never seen it. In the UFC, at least, he's always been a middleweight. So, here he comes up against OSP, who's got an insane amount of reach on him and height. Okami decided, well, it's going to be my best interest to get to the ground.
That was his light heavyweight.
Yeah, it would be in his best interest to get it to the ground early, and he fell right into the trap.
Dude, okay, so if you're fighting Ovince St. Preux, if you're on your back, don't try to put him in a guillotine. Yeah. Don't put your arm anywhere near his freaking head, because he is a master at...
The Ovince St. Preux choke.
The Ovince St. Preux.
Prue.
It's the Ovince.
Title in working. Anyway.
It's the St. Preux choke now. It's not the St. Preux Von Flew. No Von Flew anymore. He might have invented it, but Ovince St. Preux has perfected it.
Okami went to sleep.
Just totally went to bed.
What was that, like a minute?
Dude, why did he do that, though? Why did he do that? Why did he think that was even...
Well, he's trying to get the choke.
No! No,
I'm surprised. I'm surprised they even called it a submission attempt.
He obviously didn't even like watch any tape on Ovince St. Preux.
Nope. He said last week. He said, "Yeah, I'll fight the guy. I don't know who he is, but
oh my goodness,
my God."
So,
Okami went to sleep.
This is a really crazy fact. St. Preux versus Yushin Okami is now just the second fight in UFC history to feature zero significant strike attempts.
Wow.
Can you name the only other one, Slim?
No.
It was Ilir Latifi versus Cyril Diabate, and that was at UFC on Fuel TV 6.
Really?
Yeah. How crazy is that?
Oh, it must have been just...
Zero significant strikes straight attempted.
Submissions.
Yep. Went straight for the takedown, got choked out, just like that. St. Preux? Typically does not do good in headlining events. He was 1-3 coming into this. But, you know, Okami stepped to the plate and obviously didn't know who he was going up against. And
paid the price.
Yeah. St. Preux. Hey,
St. Preux looked great.
Gets another Von Flew choke. Is that now two Von Flew chokes in a row?
Yeah, actually. Good call out.
That's pretty crazy, dude. Two in a row.
And 3 of 5 in the UFC.
Yep. Three of five.
That is wild.
Can you name the only other person to pull off a Von Flew choke other than Jason Von Flew?
Oh, it was... I know this. It's in the lightweight division. I know that.
Give me a name, Slim.
Oh, fuck. How long ago was it? Give me a time period.
Here. Give me 1 second so I get all my facts straight.
Because if it's older, I think I know who it is, but if it's more recent, then ooh.
It was recent.
What weight? Give me the weight.
Lightweight.
I knew it. Fuck.
It was just in 2017 at UFC Fight Night 114 Slim.
It was this year. Shit. I don't remember. Who was it?
It was Mr. Jordan All Day Rinaldi.
Hmm. Wouldn't have guessed it. I thought it was someone else.
Yep. So there's now 3 of 5 that have gone to St. Preux, and maybe he's making a little run back to possibly getting back towards the top of that lightweight, heavyweight division.
He's got ways to go, but
I mean, yeah, but you know,
he's number 6. I mean, that's nothing to throw a stick or be ashamed of. You know, he's up there.
Maybe he'll get Manoa next.
He lost. No, Manoa just knocked him out.
You don't want to see a second one?
No.
Oh, okay.
He could fight like a Latifi, maybe.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. Both of them are the two only people without significant strikes in a fight. That's interesting.
Well, I was just saying because he just won recently. I know. Against,
still,
let's see. Who's on the rankings? Let's see. He could fight... yeah, Latifi's number 9. That'd be fine.
That'd be a cool one.
Misha Cirkunov.
Ooh. Didn't he already fight him? Or no, that was Volkan Ozdemir, my bad.
Yeah, that'd be a good one. Misha's an upcoming prospect.
For sure.
Who just lost against Volkan. Yeah, I don't know. Ovince, I like him. I think he looked good, even though it was against someone who's never fought in that weight division.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Put on a good little show there for
the Japanese crowd. Mm-hmm.
Beating one of their legends.
Right. Do I have any closing notes on that? I don't think I do. Nah. But I do definitely want to rename the choke.
Yeah,
it's the St. Preux choke.
How can you not?
The St. Preux choke.
All right, so there was another big event that had just happened.
There sure was. The night after,
Bellator 183 happened, and some pretty significant bouts were on this card, Slim.
Yeah, I got to watch a few of them, not live, but like I went back and watched them later. Mm-hmm. I was pretty content with that, with the card in general.
Yeah, so...
Some big names on this card.
We'll kind of just go into the big ones. Aaron Pico making his return to the cage after one of, if not the most, disappointing UFC debut ever in the history of ever.
UFC?
Ever.
A UFC debut, that's what it was?
Ever. No, did I say UFC?
You did.
Oh.
A Bellator. A fighting debut.
MMA debut.
Touted prospect debut.
Yeah. Because he was the most highly touted prospect. And, you know, they thought that he was going to come into Bellator and be the big thing, you know? And
got really shut out real quick.
Really disappointed everybody.
Real quick.
So, you know, he had to come in and put on a big show. And
this is only, 2-3 months later?
Yes. That was very recently. So you can tell this man's...
done his homework. And trained a little bit.
Yeah, he's going to be back. He's going to be an active fighter.
Mm-hmm.
So he went in there. He got a knockout, man. Landed a nasty left and made dude unconscious.
Right. This was actually Justin Lin's Bellator debut.
Yeah, and that was his third loss in a row. Right. So that dude is skidding. And, you know, Pico may be on his way up. We'll see. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
they need to start giving knockout. Him some bigger names, I think.
True. Absolutely. He's 1-1.
I know.
Same like Gohansaki. Like, he wanted to throw, who could he beat next? But it's got to be a gradual thing.
Right. You're right. Good job, Slim. Wow, man. You're really...
You know?
You're really a thoughtful guy.
Oh.
So in the fight after that, former UFC bad boy Roy Nelson...
Right.
Went up against Javi Ayala and dominated the fight.
Yeah, I don't know too much about... Ayala, he was coming in off a 2-fight win streak in Bellator. Big guy, 265, hit the weight limit. Roy right behind him at 262. Big
Dang.
Belly,
wow,
big belly
can,
Roy.
He can get down to 262 now? What up?
He usually walks around that.
Really?
Yeah.
Dang, I thought he had to be at least like 280. That's a big boy.
I doubt it. Well, maybe, I don't know. That's He's a little boy. Short, he's only 6 foot. Anyway.
Yeah, controlled the fight, ended up winning 30-26, 29-28, 29-28, Roy Nelson.
Had the same.
Which
I had all the flame.
What would you have it, 30-26 or 29-28?
Oh, 29, 28, probably.
Me too. I thought. Sorry.
I guess there wasn't a different number. You did shut up.
In the fight after that, this was a pretty big one.
I like this one. Lorenz Larkin, only his second fight in Bellator since leaving the UFC, which I'm still surprised that he did, against Paul Semtex Daly, who I love watching Paul Daly fight.
It's of the funnest strikers to watch in the game,
for
dude.
Sure. Coming off of his loss to Rory McDonald in Rory's debut. Yeah, man, he put on a great
Paul
show.
Paul Daly, also a very active fighter.
Right. A lot of beef in this fight.
Definitely.
They were like throwing hands at the weigh-ins, trying to get at each other. And
that's what Paul Daly does, though.
Oh, yeah.
That's why he's not in the UFC. He's a shit talker.
Do you know why he's not in the UFC?
Didn't he...
sucker punch Josh Koscheck after the bell in one of his fights. And Dana White said, nope.
Never again.
So here he is running the ranks in Bellator. But he looked great. I thought Lorenz...
You know, hold on. You know, there's a list of like 100 people that Dana White hates. How crazy is that?
He's like publicly?
Yeah.
Really?
100 people.
Is it like a book?
It's like an online article. You can look up.
I will look this up.
But yeah.
Like a bunch of random people like, this fucking Uber driver I had in California one time.
No, it's like all actual people. Look it up. You'll be interested.
I will.
It's a lot of fighters. I'll do that. It's a lot of just like random people.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. So what were you going to say about
Paul? Lorenz Larkin.
Oh, Lorenz
Larkin. A lot more lanky. Than Paul Daly. Paul Daly's...
Which is pretty hard to do.
Yeah.
Because Paul Daly's a lanky guy.
Yeah, he's... was he 6'1"? No. Lanky guy. He's only 5'9".
Well, he's got, like, lanky arms.
Yeah, he does have long reach. Lorenz Larkin is... Well, I guess he's only 5'11". But that would be his key to winning this fight, was to stay in range and not get close to those big hands. Man, he was doing so much better in UFC.
I think Bellator gloves look cooler than UFC gloves.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. They're just more solid color and like...
Yeah, and like they're like the red and the blue. Yeah. And yeah, I think they look cool. I like those.
Lorenz Larkin ended up getting caught.
With a mean one.
Boy,
Paul Daly, you mean.
you mean. He got put on wobbly street.
God, wowzers. Paul Daly stays knocking shots out.
He sure does. And he looked good.
Second round, got the KO over Lorenz Larkin.
That's a big one.
He's just going to keep fighting the top Bellator fighters in that division.
But he's never been the champ.
Nope.
I don't think so
either.
He was on a...
How are you going to say that? Three, you don't even know.
3-fight win streak a while ago. And he lost to Douglas Lima. So, he fought for the belt. Never mind. Anyway.
Did he win it, though?
No, he did not.
Okay. Cool.
He sure
cool,
did.
Slim. Cool, Slim. In the next fight.
Hey, look, it's Scott in a box.
It is a Scott in a box. A special delivery.
Oh, it's cuteness.
It's Scott in a box. I don't want it.
Return to center.
In the next fight, we had Patrick Kefrier going up against Benson Henderson.
Oh, mustache pitbull.
Ooh, the flowy-haired man, Benson Henderson, with the big back tattoo.
Man, dude, Hendo is not the... I've been doing so hot lately since leaving the UFC.
Nope. Definitely thought he'd probably go to the Bellator and show
work some shit. No, he lost against the champs, Michael Chandler and Patrici Pitbull.
Crazy, dude. So, man, I don't know. They need to keep just letting him fight.
What?
I'm trying to, like, think
no,
of...
No, he did not fight Patrici Pitbull, did he?
Yeah, he fought both of the Freer brothers.
They're both named fucking Pitbull?
No, there's Patricio and Patricky.
What? And they both have the same nickname?
Do they?
Yeah, they do. That's fucking whack. One's 18-8. One is 26-4. No, one went down to 145, okay.
Why are they both Pitbulls?
I don't know. Patricio Fieri is the
one. They train with Pitbull brothers. They are the Pitbull brothers. They train with themselves.
What?
Yo, what? Slim, what?
I don't know what's going on anymore.
We need to dig into the
We're
going to
look
Pitbull
into that.
Brothers,
I haven't been sleeping on them. Anyway, Ben Henderson, just...
Blunt.
What? Did you say blunt?
Shout out to Myers.
Why?
Because Myers and I... He's like, you know, I told you he actually listened to our show while falling asleep the other night. I was like, oh, shit, that's dope, bro. What do you want me to say? You want me to, like, say a code word? And he's like, yeah, blunt. I was like, all right, cool. He's like, say it 3 times. I was like, okay, cool.
So is that 2 now?
That was 1.
So we just said it again in this explanation. So that's 3. There you go, Myers. Scott Burt, you can't get out there.
This cat is wildin'. Wildin'.
Anyway, Benson Henderson lost his fight.
1-3 in the Bellator promotion.
That's kind of upsetting.
But he has fought, of course, Andrei Korshkov, who I'm pretty sure he was also a champion in Bellator. Pitbull won Patricio, and then Michael Chandler got the best of him in a split decision. Now, he's lost his last 2 fights by split decision. So, I mean, they are close fights. He's in there.
Yeah, someone's got it his way, at least.
But he needs to put on a bigger short show. He needs to win them, you know.
Agreed. Agreed.
You got any cool news, then?
Not really.
You don't got nothing, really?
Well, I don't know. Let me mix something up.
All right.
Let me see if I got some. I don't even have any fight announcements. I've been sleeping this week. I closed all weekend. It was rough.
What's going on at the job?
Fucking got threatened with my job, so that was cool.
Oh, cool. How'd that happen?
Boss pretty much told me, hey, you need to, like, straighten up, like, you know, respond to your emails.
Oh, wow.
Fucking do, like, all the basic things that I'm asking.
They're trying to make you some fucking cornball that you're not, though.
Yeah, I'm straight up. I'm like, yo, I'm trying to be a rapper. Like, don't.
Listen. I'm a SoundCloud rapper. I don't give a fuck about any of this.
You know how many podcasts I do a week? How many do you do? The answer is 2. Anyway.
How many do you do?
Yeah, 0. Check out the main show. We got a new lineup, if you didn't know.
Do we?
Yeah.
Damn.
It's me, Bob, and Sean.
What? That's it?
That's it.
That's it?
Yeah. Yo. That's all we need.
Oh. I was going to say.
No, I got love for the other guys. We're on a break. We'll figure it out later. But, yeah, right now it's just the 3 guys.
We got some problems, and we can't solve them.
What if you and Taylor break up?
Yo, and then, whoa, like, chill, Mike.
You,
what the fuck?
Like, and then, like, we end up getting in a fight, and then, like, I invite her onto the podcast, what? And I find another Andrew that's not Myers. Dog. And, like, Andrew Nicely.
No, what? What the fuck are you talking about?
Andrew Polos.
What? What are you... What are you saying?
I'm saying, what if you get replaced, bro? Scotty! Don't go that way. Don't do it, dude.
Wow.
Dude, don't do it. This motherfucker's trying to walk on all the equipment.
I wish Sean was here, because Cyborg said she wants to fight Ronda Rousey.
Oh, yeah, and Ronda's trainer said, I know she could beat
Cyborg. In WWE, though.
Oh. I haven't seen that.
Yeah. I think that'd be
so cringe, a cringeworthy performance by both of them, to be honest.
Literally.
But they both make millions.
Did we ever announce that Sage Northcutt, Super Sage, got a fight?
No. Who's he fighting?
He got a fight versus Mikael Quinones. Oh, yeah? And then...
Is that lightweight or at a... welter.
That is going to be at lightweight. And then Rafael Asensio also got a fight against Matthew Lopez.
Huh.
And that's going to be on November 11th. What is that? What event is that, Slim? Is that UFC 217? Or am I tripping?
November 11th is UFC Fight Night. Dustin Poirier versus Anthony Pettis.
Ah, yeah.
It's going to be a good one. Dude, this card is stacked with the oldies.
Mm-hmm.
Nate Marquardt's fighting. Who's that? Hang on. It's loading. Hang on.
So did you? Nah, never mind. You go on.
Cesar Friera. Matt Brown versus Diego Sanchez. Whoa!
Wild.
John Dodson versus Marlon Moraes. That one's sick. Angela Hill versus Nina Ansarov. I don't know her, but I know Angela Hill, so that'll be good. Arlovski versus Albini.
That'll be fun. Baby Fat Albini.
Yeah. Court the Crusher.
Shout out Baby Fat Albini. We haven't seen him in a minute when he had that upset win.
Right. Court the Crusher McGee against Sean Strickland. Mm-hmm. You ever watch Court McGee fight? He trains with Chuck Liddell.
I'm pretty sure I don't know.
He's like a gorilla, dude. Like he used to fight in middleweight, and I think he's down to welterweight now. But his arms are fucking just fucking tree trunks, literally.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And Quake Lito versus Joe Lozon.
Ooh, for the, that'll be a fun legends bout there.
Oh yeah.
So, did you see Darren Till shooting back at Brendan Schaub?
For what?
Because Brendan Schaub was, you know, saying, kind of just disrespecting the fact that Darren Till was getting a headlining bout against Donald Cerrone.
Really? I did not hear that.
So Darren Till came back and said, you've got people like Brendan Schaub saying that he doesn't know me. He's disrespecting me and whatever, saying Cowboy shouldn't be taking this fight, but why should I be taking this fight? Let's get it straight. I'm unbeaten here. I'm unbeaten and nobody's been able to beat me.
Because Cerrone is a fucking dog?
Yeah, he needs a fight like this to... He's obviously just hollering, but... And I think Brendan Schaub's also hollering because this is a fun fight.
Both are hollering because, let's be honest, Veliknovic bloodied up Darren Till's face in the last fight. Not that many punches. He did not land that many. And what he did land, like, really bloodied him up. But, yeah, Schaub's also hollering because this is going to be a really good fight.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is going to motivate Cerrone a lot to just come in with this young dude talking a bunch of shit, thinking he's the best and going to get the belt next year.
True.
So I think, it's going to be great. I like it.
So, I don't know. Do we have anything to talk about? How long have we been recording?
An hour and 30 minutes.
I guess
that's a short one for us. Lately, we've been hitting the 2 hours a lot.
Yeah. I mean, there's not really been any crazy news or anything. I wish we had some good conversations, but, you know, sometimes you guys just get what we give you. It's free. You know, take it and listen to it, you know?
If you want to pay for it, you can send me $10 on PayPal.
Yeah, and you'll actually even get, like,
shout it out
and shit.
I'll make you a commercial.
Yeah, so, you know, big shout out to Myers, you know, for saying that he listens to the podcast while he's sleeping. I hope, rock-a-bye, Myers, while you sleep with your huge chin. Your beard is super nice, and you look like your name's like Osama Bin. You like that?
I did like that. Yeah. You should sing to me more often.
I didn't mean that to be, you know, racist or problematic or anything like that.
Ooh, way to go. Way to take it there.
Yo, shout out to Hussein Hamden's mom for hooking me up with a Choco Taco, a strawberry shortcake, a cookie ice cream sandwich, and a fudgesicle for the Lolo.
You ate all that?
Not in one night.
Where did this occur that she hooked you up for the Lolo?
She's the ice cream woman in my neighborhood.
Oh.
Yeah, so, you know, if you ever hear that ice cream jingle.
Jingle jangle? Dude, I haven't heard ice cream.
That's Hussein's mom. Yeah, you know, I was just super baked out the other night, and I just heard the ice cream man. I was like, you know what? I got like $6 in my... That shit's expensive now, though, Slim. Don't be walking up there with like $2 like, hey, I'm about to get... Nah. You ain't getting a Choco Taco for $2,
bro.
Can't get
no candy cigarettes.
No, dog. Nothing like that. Damn. That shit is... They wax for those now. If you want some candy cigarettes, it's about as much as a pack of Newports.
About $7.
Yeah, about
$7.15.
Seven is some change. Damn.
So, you know. Damn, son. Where'd you find
this? Unless it's Hussein's mom and you're cool with her. You know, she'll hook you up to Lolo. So, shout out to Hussein's mom. You know, thanks to Taylor again for showing up to the podcast and then leaving it and being out in my truck sleeping right now, waiting to eat Taco Bell for like the third night in a row. And she weighs like 120 pounds. Ain't that wild?
Yeah.
Her cholesterol is probably wild, though.
Dr. Monty on the case. We're going to start an underground fight league.
Mm-hmm.
So if you'd like to be a part of that, let us know. Hit us up.
We're going to actually try getting real fighters in it. You know, some camps that we know. We're about to get like, it's going to be like Jamar versus...
Yo, can you imagine like Myers versus fucking Cameron?
I would love to see that.
Tarzan just comes in and just... wah, wah, wah.
Just beat the shit out of throwing his ass.
Myers' beard just comes back and just punches him. Like,
no. Shout out to... Shit. That's Myers' best defense is the beard. His beard's like covering him. Stay off my friend. Yo, shout out to Tarzan. That's
God
awesome.
Damn, that's a great fucking matchup.
Oh, that's a great like visual right there. Cameron just munching on Meyer. So yeah, that might be on the card. We do think we're gonna have the headlining bout be me and my good friend Chad, the Irish Redbeard Donahue, going up against the Polish penis heads, Clem Brothers. You know what?
How about just fuck that dude? If he ever touches anything of mine that I've paid for or that I own again, I will fuck him up in the middle of the bar. I don't give a fuck.
Damn. Yo.
Fuck that guy.
Air it out.
Fuck that guy.
Air it out.
I don't know why I didn't. I had just done some drugs and I was feeling like happy and in a good mood and I was watching fights with all my friends. So I was like, yeah, I'm not just going to fucking fuck this dude up in the middle of the bar. But then I thought about the next thing. I'm like, no, I should have kept it real and fucked him up or at least thrown the other fucking
wing in his face.
Like, oh, yeah, here's some ranch, too.
Oh!
Bro, yeah, I think I'm big and bad when I think about this the next day, but, you know.
Damn, that would have been the mad fighting issue. But, yeah, he's a wild dickhead, used to be my boss and shit. One time he called me stupid, and I looked at him, and I was like, if you ever call me stupid again, I'll kill you. And then I didn't talk to him for, like, 8 hours in the truck.
Good for you.
Yeah, I'll kill him. I already decided that I will snap his fourth metatarsal right in half.
What's that one?
Like this one, I think.
Oh, okay. Ring finger.
It might actually be on your foot. I don't know. But I'm snapping something. I know that. Bring it on, Clem Brothers. So
your eyes when you did that. Oh, my God.
I'll really fuck him up. Shout out to Lousy Weather Media, of course, for always giving us our great platform to talk our shit.
Yeah.
And if you really want to know, I'll also choke Sean out because, you know, if he ever ran... Me and Slim ran over this earlier. He's like, damn, what if Sean just came up and was talking wild spice to me? I was like, I'd probably just come up and choke him out. And it would really happen. Yeah. I'd do that for you, Slim. I'd choke out our COO for you.
Thanks, bud. That means a lot.
And I, if he tapped, I would just not even acknowledge it.
Oh, no, that's murder. You've talked about murder twice on this podcast now.
I'm going to get a knock on the door at like 2 in the morning. You're going to have the flashlight in my eyes.
Hey, so we listened to your Kobe episode.
Why don't you step outside for me, sir?
He's got murder in his eyes. Look at him.
It's sleep. Got, like the eye boogers. Like, it's sleep.
Those are murder boogers. That'll do it for us, guys. I got to go pet this cat.
Yeah, we gotta go take care of Scotty.
Scotty too hot, your bitch on the molly, she fuck everybody.
Hey, see you guys next week.
Yeah. This has been the Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.